and welcome to episode 7 of the Instant Offense Podcast, featuring me, James Hollis, of B-Ball Breakdown fame and fortune. Not a lot of fortune. Coach Nick, can you pay me a little more? Exactly episode 8, kind of, because with me today is Mr. Zach Palmer from the OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Zach, you there, bro?
I'm here, man.
Yeah, so just to let you know, me and Zach just recorded for like 45 minutes. It was dynamite. It was gold. He gave me the secret of the Orlando offense. He broke down Victor Oladipo's favorite food. He gave me insight into Scott Skiles' psyche and childhood, and then it cut off in the last 5 minutes from the recording, and we had some bad connections. So we just started over again, and we're not going to cover any of that stuff. How you doing, bro?
Man, I'm doing pretty well. The second time's going to be a charm, right? First time we had a couple gold gems in there, but we're going to do better this time.
Well, like somebody on Twitter said when we recorded and we lost it and messed up, and somebody said, even Blog Talk was like, man, his opinion must be trash, and this guy is off the guy's out of there. So we'll try to step up our game this time, be a little better. Talk to me a little bit. How long have you been over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com?
I've been writing there. It started out in a different website, but we transitioned over to OrlandoMagicDaily.com right before the beginning of last season, or right before last season started. So I'd say, nearly a year now, but it's definitely a good place over there. You got a good crew over there. You got Brett, Phil over there, and they're repping really hard up there.
Nice. How long have you been an Orlando Magic fan?
I've been an Orlando Magic fan since I remember watching basketball when I was like 4 years old. Shaq and Penny started off, and then we had a pretty good, string of crew going on after Shaq and Penny. We hit Darrell Armstrong. Then we went with Tracy McGrady, Dwight Howard. We'll pretend Steve Francis didn't happen. And now we're in kind of a rough spell, but that's all right.
I've already heard this once. I'm still going to do it again, man. How are you going to go from Shaq and Penny to Darrell Armstrong to Tracy McGrady? That somebody doesn't belong in that group, man. Darrell was a little scrappy dynamo. Was he almost an all-star? I know he was. I think he got most improved player, right?
He did get most improved player. I don't think he ever actually hit the all-star team. He hit that dunk contest where he just was abysmal. I'm sure y'all recall that. That was real infamous, but. I mean, yeah, Darrell was a hard person. So
I'm gonna erase that from my memory bank. That dunk contest was terrible.
It was so bad, man.
But not a lot of fans are able to say that their first memory of watching their team is two legends like Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway. So that's pretty damn impressive. Give me some of your feelings at the end of last season. What was the general atmosphere around the team? You guys, you had a season of Jaquan. You didn't. It's weird. I remember you had a couple spurts. You play okay, and then you'd be back into the tank, and you guys it was really bad. And then they let go of Vaughn, and they brought in, and they promoted Borrego for the rest of the season. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, James Borrego, that's correct.
So, yeah, so you had Oladipo, you had Tobias Harris, you had Mucci Man. And you were guaranteed another draft pick. But what was the atmosphere around the team? How were you feeling at the end of last season?
It was pretty disappointing, man. You kind of hope going into a rebuilding process that you're going to see some kind of identity for the team being built, and you just didn't see anything. There were some individual improvements. Oladipo's improvement particularly stuck out. Vucevic's numbers kind of, they went up. I don't know how much game he improved, how much of the game he improved. Back to the basket a little bit. But you just didn't see a team kind of chemistry building along as well as you'd hoped. And the defense was just an absolute mess. The offense, predictable mess with the skill sets provided. So it's good that they got some new blood in there. Borrego helped out a little bit trying to get them focused on defense anyways. But the offense, again, was just pretty awful.
All right. So, you must have been pretty excited then when you heard. Well, we'll wait for that. So who was your choice in the draft running up to it? Who was your ideal pick?
Well, I actually wrote something about this, and it's on NBA Daily, but it was Kristaps Porzingis was the pick I actually really wanted. The Knicks snagged him right before because I thought he was an ideal fit next to Vucevic and to help Orlando space that offense a little bit more. But my second choice, choice B, was actually Mario Hezonja. So I was ecstatic when they decided to pick Hezonja because I think he just has a higher ceiling than just about anybody else that was drafted, especially in that area. And after Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, you could argue that Hezonja's got the highest ceiling left in the draft.
Look, man, Blog Talk Radio, you guys got to get together. I'm here with my man, Zach Palmer, and we're trying to give the people what they want to hear about the Orlando Magic. And Blog Talk is dropping phone calls, kicking me out of the host queue. This won't do. Zach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Oh, man, maybe you're bad luck, man. Maybe you should stay away from the Orlando Magic when they succeed this year, because this is that's strike two. So let's hope we can finish this up in style. Let's hope on the playback there's no gap, because it told me we dropped the call, so we should be good to go. So let's where we're at. You were telling me that before the draft, you wrote a piece and you were aiming for Porzingis.
Yeah, that was right. I wanted Porzingis because I thought he brought ideal spacing and potential rim protection next to Vucevic, which would have made him a very good fit with the Magic. When the Knicks decided to go ahead and take him, actually my second choice was Mario Hezonja because I thought he had the highest potential remaining left on the board. And outside of Karl Anthony Towns and maybe Porzingis, I thought he was probably up there with the highest potential of anybody in the draft.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Knicks and Orlando didn't flip-flop. I was pretty sure that the Knicks would have went with the flashier player in Hezonja. And I knew that Orlando, Porzingis would have been a great fit in Orlando. He would have been a perfect foil to Vucci Man because, you know, he's a shot blocker. He's not a powerhouse, and Vucci likes to block. So I thought it would have been a good match. But I'm pretty sure. Now, your screen name on Twitter, your actual handle is Mario, how do you say it?
Hegocha? Yeah.
Because he's the GOAT. So you were saying you didn't have identity last season, and you knew that, you know, you guys had to tighten up on defense. You got this another rookie who's offensive-minded. I think Orlando did a good job bringing in a defensive-minded coach in Scott Skiles. It seems to me that you might have a different idea. How did you feel about the hiring of Scott Skiles?
Yeah, Scott Skiles, I was not too happy. I actually, you know, leading up to the actual hiring on Twitter, I had gone on a rant on Twitter about how they better not hire Scott Skiles. I posted top five list of coaches I didn't want to see, and Scott Skiles was on that list multiple times. They finally did the deed. Yeah, all that. They finally did the deed. I wrote something about it. I just didn't think it was true to the process that the general manager was trying to run. Scott Skiles, to me, and based on Scott's experience, is not a long-term solution at coach. Every stop he's been, he gets there, turns the team around, and you can use that term lightly because they don't really get too great, but then he gets fired because he brings out his players. So, I mean, I just don't think it's a long-term vision. Personally, I was angling for Mike D'Antoni. I know it's not a defensive-minded coach, but I thought with the athletes and the ability to run on that team, I thought he had been a good fit on the Magic.
That's actually a really good call. I didn't think about that. I think D'Antoni – now, here's the reason I don't think D'Antoni would have been a good fit. He's never shown the propensity to be much of a teacher or a developer. He acts like he doesn't like young players too much. And he's – all right, so someone can listen to this and tell me I'm 100% wrong maybe. He seems to be very, very petty, where if you get on his bad side – he'll hold it against a player, and he kind of holds a grudge, and a guy will end up in the doghouse for probably longer than he should, right? And he can help the team, but D'Antoni's just kind of pissed off. He won't really mess with him. That's just how it seems to me. But my main thing with him is he's not a teacher, and he also seems very rigid. It's all about his system. If he can't play his system, he doesn't really want to play at all. That's what kind of bothers me. Now, here's why I think, and we'll go back to your reasons why you don't like Skiles. It makes sense. You're saying he's like a long-term answer. But that's not what you need right now. I look at it almost like Scott Skiles with OKC. I think they kept around a season or two too long. But the point was he instilled the culture. he got the guys to buy into the culture. He got the guys to play together. I mean, I don't think there's ever really chemistry issues in OKC. His problem, he wasn't a long-term solution, was his offense was too simplistic. Skiles might grade on guys and get to the point where, you know, he's after 3 or 4 seasons, he's got to go. But that's fine because you're such a young team. His job is to instill professionalism and instill a good defensive mindset into those guys. So I think he's a good choice, and even if he's not long-term. If he's there for 2 or 3 years and does those things and then leaves, I think that's all right. So tell me, so why do you not agree with that? I understand what you're saying about long-term, but what's the rush to find your long-term coach right now?
Well, I think, again, what they want to instill in Orlando anyway is they want to have a long-term sustainability with all the players, and they want the core to be there. And I believe the coach is part of the core that they want to keep around. I don't think they really ever believed Ja Collins was that guy. I think they thought he was better than he turned out being. But as far as Scott Skiles goes, I mean, it's almost a guarantee that the dude's gone 2 or 3 years. Will he turn around? I hope so. Will he get him the playoffs? If he doesn't, it's been a spectacular failure. The other thing that really worries me is his offense. I mean, Scott Skiles has been known to run some pretty terrible offenses based on mid-range jumpers. And again, if we've all watched the league recently, mid-range jumpers are about the worst shot you can take as far as efficiency goes. So, I mean, I don't know. He seems a little old school for me. He doesn't seem like he's really running the new ways. And that's a bunch of young players in that squad right now. And we'll see how he deals with it. But I don't know if it's going to be the best fit.
Yeah, that's another good point because him and, you know, it seems like him and Tobias Harrison really, I might say didn't get along because it seemed like he was charged in Milwaukee. That's, and when I say he, I mean Scott Skiles. He was charged with winning in Milwaukee. They weren't trying to rebuild or develop guys. So he played guys in front of Tobias who he thought he had a better chance to win. But listen to these numbers. When Skiles took over in Phoenix in 2000, the year before, they were the 19th in defensive rating. Skiles came in, and they were second. He came to the Bulls in 04. They were 16th, right? And then they jumped to first or second by the time he left there, right? And then he came to the Bucks, and they were dead last in 2008. By the time 2010 rolled around, they were second in defensive rating. So he's going to take your 24th ranked off defense to new heights, right? And I think that's the hardest thing to teach a young team is to play defense. That's just I get it, though. I can get why you wouldn't want to. You have these precious rookies, these talents, unformed clay. You don't want it in the hands of a guy like that early. I can totally understand that, too, though. Go ahead.
I was just the thing too about Skiles. I mean, and the defensive things, you cannot. There's no way you can knock it, because I mean, like you said, everything is proven. But the thing that I looked at too, because I saw those defensive numbers the same year, you look at those offensive numbers. I think Skiles has only finished in the top half of the league twice in offense when he had a full season as coach. Half seasons he's done well because he's taken over, you know, partway through. But for a full season as coach, I think he's only finished in the top 10 offensive rating twice with offense.
Touche. Now let's look at some of the teams he had. And I'm not going to even bring the rosters, but I'm pretty sure, like, the Milwaukee team he took over just wasn't that talented. They weren't a bunch of great talents. Same in Chicago. He didn't have a great offensive team. And, I mean, right now, Atlanta has a lot of raw offensive talent. But that's neither here nor there. I dig it that you're not a big fan of Scott. I hope he surprised you pleasantly. So tell me about who's your starting five opening night?
I got to go Elfrid Payton. Victor Oladipo, Tobias Harris, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Vucevic. I really want to see that five because I think that with Skiles being the coach and Orlando's offensive limitations as far as skills are concerned, they need to really push the tempo to score points. And I think if you get guys like forwards like Gordon and Harris who can both handle the ball and pass it, I think that's going to really help them get out on the break, score some easy points.
So now you got me concerned because, like you said, Skiles is not an offensive coach, and that starting five does not have a lot of shooting. It seems like I think Tobias would, I guess, be your best shooter, which that's kind of scary. Well, and let's talk about that a little bit because in today's, it sounds so cliche saying it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Today's pace and space league, you guys have the pace, but you don't really have the space. What are some concerns you have about your roster going forward? And when I say, hey, guys out there listening, when I say concerns, there's nothing seriously wrong. They got talent. They're young. They got the world in front of them. I'm just saying it's all relative. So when I say concerns, there's no real red flags. Do you agree with that? Zach.
The only thing I really am concerned about would probably be interior defense, and I don't think Nikola Vucevic really has it in him to be a great rim protector. Hopefully, Scott Skiles' system helps out a lot because Jacques Vaughn's system was just, dreadful for everybody. But hopefully, it helps Nikola Vucevic out a lot. Dwayne Dedman is a very good rim protector, but the dude has stone hands and just can't catch the ball on offense. Just total liability on that end.
You bring up another good point. You have so much talent. Vucevic's not a rim protector. And all the rest of your talent outside of Vucci is pretty much on the perimeter. You guys are almost, let's count them. You got Tobias Harris, Mario, Oladipo, you got Peyton. You got four guys who could end up being kind of high usage, ball in the hand kind of guys. And, oh, I forgot your boy, what's his name, the French kid. Evan Fournier off the bench. You got a lot of talent, but is there ever a thing that's too much talent? How do you see the minutes being divvied up for this team?
And that's definitely a huge issue as well to hit on. I mean, I'm not sure how in the world they're going to end up playing all these guys sufficient minutes to really develop them. I mean, you saw them trade Mo Harkless in the offseason for literally nothing to the Trailblazers, and that's probably just to help them out. They let Kyle Quinn go, unfortunately, to the Knicks. And they replaced him with Jason Smith, who I don't know where he's going to play because there's not really many minutes to go around. Channing Frye, probably going to get your backup power forward minutes, even though Andrew Nicholson, probably a better piece going forward. We got Shabazz Napier, the third string guard, too. I mean, there's just not going to be enough minutes. You're going to be lucky to see Hezonja get 15 minutes a game, barring injury right now. And hopefully Aaron Gordon gets plenty of minutes. But Oladipo and Vucevic, and maybe Harris, probably the only three guys that I'm thinking are going to get consistent minutes.
Man, look at that. I'm sitting here with the roster in front of me, and I didn't even mention Aaron Gordon. You guys are a good 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I'm going to throw Fournier at 7. Even though Fournier's been in the league for a couple of years, that's 7 young guys who need minutes to spread their wings and learn the trade. And I always think that minutes are like, that's the lifeblood. That's the air off that rookies breathe. That's how they develop. Would you be open to moving one or two of these guys for maybe a more proven piece? Do you like the way they're going right now with a pure rebuild, rise up the young kids together?
I see what they're going for. And again, that goes back to the process that I was talking about earlier with Scott Skiles and how they want a culture of, a college atmosphere kind of culture where everybody is, friends and stuff. But personally, I think that there's a few roster flaws, mainly rim protection. And I think if you could package somebody like Nikola Vucevic and then maybe one other of the young guys and some picks to get somebody that was like a superstar center, maybe like a DeMarcus Cousins, I think that might be something that you would look to. I mean, I don't know if the Kings are looking for it, but if the Magic are looking to be serious, that's the way to go about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you don't think Vucci is really a big part of your future plans?
I don't know if the Magic feel the same way as I do. Like I said, I don't believe the NBA is the way of the low post finesse big man anymore. It seems to me it's all about rim protection and rebounding. If you can hold your own on the defensive end, you've got a good spot in the NBA as long as, you can dunk the ball. Like DeAndre Jordan can dunk the ball, so he's good enough, for them on the offensive end. But I just feel like Vucevic doesn't fit the new NBA kind of mold right now.
Yeah, that's the big debate right now, right? Because look who went so high in the draft. Jahlil Okafor is a big deal. He's an offensive centerpiece. But, in a lot of ways, I mean, he's a lot like Nikolai Vucevic, right? And even Vucevic has a little jump shot, face up. So it's a great debate. You don't want to pass up or just discard talent because it doesn't fit the modern NBA? Because I think the great teams kind of make talent fit to, make what they have fit. But, I mean, if you're building a team so young, why don't you start the way you want to? I mean, it only makes sense. So let's say, tell me who you would move. Give me that package again. You said Vucci and who else? Who's untouchable? Who's untouchable? Who would you say, I'm not moving this player?
Untouchable, Victor Oladipo, and I would put Mario Hezonja on that list, but since I haven't seen him play enough, and obviously in the pros, there's just no way you can put him on that list yet, so probably just Victor Oladipo, to be honest with you.
Wow, everybody else is fair game. Okay, so give me a good realistic kind of package.
Something like probably Nikola Vucevic, Elfrid Payton, Channing Frye for some filler money, the first-round pick this year, and then the first-round pick that the Lakers are going to actually give us because they decided that it was a good idea to try to win this year for like
Idiot.
Boogie Cousins.
For who?
For Boogie and Darren Collison.
Wow. It's funny because I remember, I don't know if you remember that day on Twitter, we were all talking about different Boogie deals. And I thought, Vucci and maybe one of your other pieces, I don't think Elf is a big enough piece. But I don't know, whoever else, maybe, man, I know you guys hate to give up Gordon. But for Boogie, him and like Vucci and a bunch of picks seems fair. But I think people are a little higher on Boogie than I am. I'm really high on Boogie. Okay, so give me another one. Who else?
Well, I think too, another thing is that I've been looking at is just the Sixers got that crowded front court right now, and nobody's trading for Embiid. So I would look at trying to trade for Nerlens Noel. I don't know what exactly the Sixers would want, but I mean, if you want to swap, Mario Hezonja or something like that for him, and it makes a better sense for both teams because it clears it up, that would make sense to me. Again, obviously, the Magic have like three or four guys that are young guys that are interchangeable for a big man.
Oh, okay. The only reason I think Philly wouldn't do that is because, like you just said, the whole NBA is about rim protection and defense, right? From your big man, and Noel is that. Noel is that. And I don't see them doing it because even though they're still maybe waiting on their star, and it may or may not be Okafor, having that power forward for them, they probably wouldn't give it up. And now I'm looking at it, it's really weird that Orlando is a young team, I think, of the future, and one of the few of the future. But you have two throwback players because, like you said, Elfrid Payton, he can't shoot. He's almost like a young Rondo, and that's weird. You got two in your starting lineup. But your young core is really, really nice. Who would you say who's your three? The big three is the big thing now. LeBron has started. It started with Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. And even before that, it was Pippen, MJ, and Horace Grant first, and then they brought in Rodman. It's been, it's Tony Parker, Duncan, Manu Ginobili. Who is the big three in Orlando?
For me, the only real clear cut is definitely Victor Oladipo. I believe he's going to be probably a superstar in the NBA, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it this year. The other guys I'd go with are probably Aaron Gordon, and then it's a toss up for me between Mario Hezonja, probably Elfrid Payton too, but those are the guys I'd probably go with.
Nice. Wow. And you're not a fan of Vucci at all, but I dig it. So that big three, let's just stay with those three. Would you trade your big three for Minnesota's big three?
Oh,
Of
and I'm not going to.
Wiggins. Oh, I didn't get the name out of my mouth in a heartbeat, right? So what sets them apart? And I think I know the answer, but I want to hear you say what sets them apart.
Well, I think we can all agree that Wiggins was pretty, awesome last year, and he's only going to get better. He's probably going to take that superstar leap this year too, and I just hands down going to be one of the better players in the NBA. Karl-Anthony Towns, man, same thing. I feel like this kid's going to be a very, very good player in the NBA for a long time. Probably a lot better than whoever, the second best player on the Magic is, you call it Aaron Gordon or whoever. And then, third one for the Minnesota, you can interchange it. I'd take Shabazz Muhammad because I think that dude's really underrated, and I think he's going to be a very good player in the league this year. A lot of people didn't see him last year because he was hurt, but I think the Wolves three, just based off of those two alone, you get a 2 for 3, I would take it.
Would you trade Victor Oladipo straight up for Karl-Anthony Towns?
That's tough because the fit is bad, but I just don't think the fit is bad. I guess that would clear up front court for the Magic. So you know what? I think I actually would make that deal. We have Hezonja, we can plug him in the shooting guard. So you know what? You put Karl-Anthony Towns at the 4, leave Vucevic at the 5. I don't know if Towns is really suited to play the 4 as well as the 5, but Hezonja playing at the 2 and getting those minutes while Anthony Towns is developing at the 4 too is not a bad idea to me.
Right, I like the one. I just threw that one out there, but I actually like the fit of Towns beside Vucci because a lot like we said earlier, he does everything that Vucci can't, and Vucci has the back to basket game. That actually be really good. I think that'd be really good. Okay, how about your core three or Milwaukee's?
I'm gonna go with the Magic. I know a lot of people really do love, let's say Milwaukee is probably like Giannis, Jabari, and then you can probably toss up between Greg Monroe, or maybe Michael Carter Williams, but I'll go with Greg Monroe in this case. But
Yeah, I feel Monroe.
Yeah, Giannis is awesome. Like, he's really fun to watch, and you see these highlights, and you just go, wow, this kid can be special, but you have to put the emphasis on can. I don't think he's there yet. He is a very solid player right now, but he is not on the level of Victor Oladipo yet. And like I said, you look at Jabari. I think he's going to be a good player, but obviously we didn't get to see enough of him last year, unfortunately, because of an injury. And if he could turn out to be, as good as Aaron Gordon or whatnot, but we'll see soon. And then as far as Greg Monroe, I mean, Greg Monroe has the same problem with me as Nikola Vucevic. The fit on it, on his, back to the basket kind of big man that's not very mobile, can't defend the rim well. That really eats at me because I'm watching today's NBA and you don't see playoff teams with poor interior defenders anymore. You just don't. That's very rare. I think Milwaukee with Zaza Pachulia is probably the only one of the only teams, if not the only team, with a poor defensive big man in the middle.
That's you had a point, and Milwaukee made up for it by being so long and stingy on the perimeter. So that's a pretty good point. I don't know why. When I think Monroe or Vucci man, I feel that Monroe is a lot better than him, and I have no reason to say that. It's weird.
I mean, I feel like that's a toss-up between the style of plays that you like. I think if you like Vucevic popping a lot more and Monroe being more of a down-low, back-to-the-basket guy, I can definitely see that. I feel like you probably, honestly, guys that can shoot mid-range pick-and-pop, I think they're probably easier to find than back-to-the-basket players that are competent and good enough to stay on the floor. I mean, Aaron Gray could back-to-the-basket, but you didn't want him on the floor because he was going to be tragic for the rest of any other aspect of the game. So I think I can definitely see why. Yeah.
I dig it, man. Let's get back to your boy Oladipo, man. I picked him. B-ball breakdown. We did a breakout player projection with a few of our writers. Shout out to Jesse Blanchard. What's up, Jess? Tell Coach Nick to pay me more. So check this out. Oladipo, 22 years old last year. 70.9 points per game, 4 rebounds, about 4 assists, 1.7 steals at 22 years old. Do you know how many guards have done that at 22 years old?
I mean, I can't imagine very many, man. Like I said, this kid's going to be special, and his defense isn't even there yet. But when he gets there, and I suspect it'll be this year, you're going to see some very special play coming from that kid.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 guards in since they started tracking these stats in 1947 have done that. Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Gilbert Arenas, Baron Davis. Kobe did it twice before he was 22. Iverson, Kevin Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, the real Isaiah Thomas. That's pretty impressive, man.
That's good company to be in.
That I think the kid is going to be dynamite. You agree with me? And tell me, let's project him for this season. What kind of numbers do you think he can put up?
I'm going to go with another benchmark. 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists this year. I'd mark that down. I'd almost say that's money. This year, Aaron Gordon, I believe, will be in the starting lineup. That's one less guy that needs the ball in his hands. That's when they give Oladipo more opportunities to shoot the ball and just handle the ball in general.
Wow, I'll take that bet. Mark down. Because that's like, that's if he can do that and you guys can actually be competitive and win games, not like Tyreke Evans did when he won Rookie of the Year, but it was pretty much jump balling. They wanted to make sure he got that stupid, they want to make sure he got the numbers. That wasn't real basketball, it matter. If they can be competitive and he does that, that's amazing. Where would you put him? Let's say he does that this year. He goes 25-5, and then next year his progression continues. In 2 or 3 years, do you think he can be like up there with the elite shooting guards? Can he be a Jimmy Butler type? Can he be a Klay Thompson type? Can he be a James Harden type? James Harden is the cream of the crop right now. We know that. Can he be in the discussion with Bradley Beal? Where do you see him falling in the next few years?
I absolutely think that's the crop of the lion. As far as Bradley Beal goes, I would say right now, if you told me to pick one of the two, I'm going to take Oladipo. I don't think Bradley Beal right now is currently better than Oladipo. I would say you can put him even if you want, but I would even give Oladipo a little bit of an advantage. He's playing with less talented players under a coach that was just abysmal. So, I mean, I think that's a disadvantage to him, but next year, I bet you watch Oladipo. He's gonna be up there in that company next year. He won't pass any of those guys except for probably Beal, but he'll be in conversations with Butler, Harden, and Klay Thompson coming up for the next couple of years.
Wow, okay. Bradley Beal is do it on a he And we're back from a fake commercial break that never happened because Blog Talk is a family show, so we're good to go. Man, that's twice, man. This Zach Palmer guy, before, I don't know if you can hear me, but this Zach Palmer guy, I'm telling you, he's like, I don't know, he's like the anti-rabbit foot. Oh, Zach, you there?
Okay, man.
Hey, what's up, man? I know you. No, we dropped it again. This playback is going to be interesting. See how, I don't know, that's going to be, it's gonna be pretty funny because if there, hopefully there's not gaps there where we dropped. We'll see. If there is, hey, guess what, guys? If there is, you're going to have to deal with it. That's it. Not much we can do. What the hell was I asking? What was I asking you just now?
We were at Bradley Beal, talking about Bradley Beal and all of these.
Oh, there you go. You got a better memory than me. Yeah, so Bradley Beal has a shooting stroke. He has a little more, I think he has a little more size, and he's done it on the playoff stage. What gives Oladipo the advantage over Bradley Beal?
I just think you're going to, this year especially, you're going to see Oladipo's shot improve. It'll be respectable. I don't think it'll be Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal shot like 40% from three last year. But Oladipo's handles, his vision, I mean, and that's crazy to think his vision because a couple years ago, the dude couldn't see anything on the court. But, I mean, his ability to break dudes down off the dribble, his defense is going to take a step up this year. His overall game's going to be better. I'll give Beal the jump shot, but everything else, you give me Oladipo.
You know what? Did you see him during the Team USA scrimmage?
That was some kind of enlightenment. I mean, you know, they're not playing any defense in there, but, you know, I'm watching this guy hit pull-up threes, and I'm like, all right, pull-up threes. You know, I'll like to see a couple of those in the season and see if they go down like that.
Let me say this, man. I'm going to just be a fan for a minute. Dog, he looked like a totally different player from last year. The confidence, the smooth pull-ups. If that's what you guys got in Oladipo, the league is going to be in trouble. And I mean that. That's just ridiculous. So, give me the solid ranking. Let's say, and this is, of course, is all pure fun. You know, a couple years, Butler's going to be probably a mid-20s kind of guy. Klay might start, you know, break out and be a 20-something point-per-game guy, get his handle better. Harden will be a couple years older, and I think he'll definitely be up there among, probably top three, four players in the league. What kind of – is Oladipo going to be just a scorer, a fun player, or do you think he's going to be legitimately, like, you know, an impact player?
I think he's going to be, like, an honest two-way superstar. He's going to be able to score. He's going to put 25 and 5 up. I think that's going to be consistent. And I think he's going to play some very, very good defense. I mean, you remember the comparison playing at college, people saying, oh, he's Tony Allen, and maybe he'll develop some offense. Well, I think Tony Allen defense obviously hasn't shown up yet. But I think that's going to get here. And then the offense that no one was expecting is going to show up too. And people are talking about Russell Westbrook comparisons. He's not going to be the same player because Russell Westbrook is a point guard, contrary to some popular belief. And Victor Oladipo is not. But I think he's going to be a lot closer to Westbrook than he is Tony Allen.
That's why you're my dog. You know about me and Westbrook. Let's shift gears to a player you don't seem to be, you seem a little more lukewarm about, Tobias Harris. How do you feel about the contract?
Honestly, I think if you look at the market and the way stuff was handed out this year, the contract is fine. The only thing I worry about, again, I'm not sure where Tobias fits, and a lot of that has to do with this young roster. I just feel like I think he's best suited to play the four. The thing is, Aaron Gordon is also clearly best suited to play the four. Tobias has shown some better range last year. He got up like 36% from three and was hitting really well from the left corner. So, I mean, I can see Tobias doing good stuff. I think they need to post him up more. I know it's not a classic thing, but the Magic are going to be in need for some scoring. And he is a very good post-up player against smaller guys. But as a four, you see him break down guys off the dribble, and he just creates havoc. He gets free throws. He just beats guys on the dribble, throws up floaters. I mean, I like him better at the four, but I can see why the Magic need him at three right now.
Yeah, that's one thing, one of those little concerns, not concerns to me, is that there's a little overlap with him and Aaron Gordon. They're not the same player, but they're similar size, and like they both kind of are tweeners, and both are probably better at power forward. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. But I'm really high on him. I wrote something about him, too, over at BigBallBreakdown.com. Yeah, I'm a little higher on him than you are. I think that the combo of him and Oladipo could really be something special. So that bears to be seen. Project his numbers for me this year. Last year he had a great year. He was at 17-6 How do you see him? Do you see him taking a step forward? Do you think that would hurt the overall growth of the team if he takes a bigger role? What do you think?
I think you'll probably see him at a pretty similar number. I'll go 18 and like 7 this year. I don't think it's going to be too much of an increase because I'm hoping to see the ball move a little bit more around the offense. That's one thing about Tobias. He does stop the ball a little bit. But, I mean, I'm hoping to see, like you said, some more offense is well-rounded. I hope his three-point shot, and I believe it'll start becoming even more effective. And that will make him a legitimate three prospect if his defense can be even, you know, average.
Yeah, I guess I dig it. The ball-stopping thing is a concern with the young team because you want to share the ball. But when you have a guy like Oladipo, who's a playmaker, you got Elfrid Payton, who's a playmaker, there's nothing wrong with having a guy who's more of a pure scorer, right? Because he's not going to have the ball in his hands. You got two guards you can handle. So I dig it, though. I get his questions about him, which is exactly what I wrote over on a BYU breakdown. Another topic we were talking on Twitter today about your guys. I really like what Orlando's doing. They took their time. They didn't, you know, just go chasing free agents. And this offseason, same thing. They didn't go try, hey, let's add a vet. But someone said to me that, Orlando needs to make the playoffs this year to show that they're in the right direction. And I took – it made me pause, and I was like, what are you talking about? Their core is – they're basically a bunch of babies. Even a guy like Fournier is not old. They're a young team. They're all just getting together. They just got another rookie. What does this need to make the playoffs? And I get it. The NBA is a what have you done for me, win now kind of atmosphere. But then a team like this isn't in that rat race. They're just trying to get in that rat race. And what's the rush? If they don't make the playoffs this year, do you feel it's a failure?
I mean, that's idea is ridiculous. I mean, as a fan, I get that people are hungry to get back to the playoffs. I understand that. But to think that this team needs to make the playoffs this year is kind of crazy. They won 25 games last year. They're 25 and 57 to get in the playoffs. Even in the East, you're probably looking at 38 to 40 wins. So you're looking for a huge win increase there to make the playoffs in the East this year. And what this team needs to do this year to be a success is just to establish an identity. The big failure under Jock Vaughn was the failure to establish any kind of identity on either side of the ball. If Scott Skiles can even come in here and establish the defensive identity, even if the offense is an entire mess, this season was a success. Because if they establish that identity, they're going to get more wins.
Yeah, man, it's such a weird concept that people are already telling them they have to do something. The clock hasn't even started on these guys yet. So playoffs, that's fine. If you guys make it, you're happy. They don't, you're not worried about it because you want to establish a culture and identity. We still want benchmarks, though, and I'm asking you as an analyst and a writer and a fan, what's the benchmark for you for a successful season this year?
I would just say about 34 or 35 wins would be a fantastic improvement. And again, the only way they get to that is if they establish identity. If they do anything better than that, somebody or somebody's on that team is taking the leap to superstardom, and then we're looking at something entirely different and special.
That sounds a 10-win jump. I don't know. I've never been much of a guy who does analyze these numbers. But that sounds like a pretty sizable jump. And I don't know. What do you think make the playoffs in the East this year?
I mean, you got to go see. The Bulls are probably still going to get there. You know, you got Cavs are a given. Raptors probably going to make it.
Let's do it in order. Let's do it in order. So we know Cavs are number one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we know. I think the next couple of years, unless something happens to one of the guys, knock on wood, or, you know, I think with those three and the way they are with LeBron, they're going to be head and shoulders above the rest for the next couple of seasons. All right, so who's at number two?
That's tough, man. You kind of wanted to say based off talent that the Heat really do belong there, but they didn't look all that good last year. I guess, though, when they got Dragic, they also lost Bosch at the same exact time.
Exactly.
So you're looking at, I would say you got to be between the Heat, maybe the Bulls, if you think that Thibodeau wasn't a big loss. I personally do think losing Thibodeau is a big loss, and it'll expose some flaws to that team. They'll still make the playoffs off of talent, but I'll probably just say Toronto, Toronto's the other option too, Washington. That's tough, man. Like, honestly, I think
who'd you have number two? Who'd you have number two?
You might have to throw up. Washington might be up there with them. Washington and Miami are probably the two guys out there up there.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Toronto. Okay, so what? So Washington, Toronto. So let's say them, those are two and three in some order. Washington, Toronto. Washington, Miami, one, two, and three. And who you got number four?
That's going to be Chicago, or that probably Chicago, Miami.
Oh, okay. And finish it off for me. Who's your last? The bottom five through eight.
Now that's the tough part, man, because you got all these teams like the Pacers. The Pacers have had so much turnover. I have no idea what to expect from them this year. Paul George is back, but that's pretty much it. So what are they going to do this year? I don't know. If you're looking at the Bucks, I think the Bucks are a good team, but I don't know honestly if last year was sustainable. Like, I mean, Chris Middleton was shooting lights out all year long last year. Is Chris Middleton that good? He might be, and if he is, then watch out for, Milwaukee, but I don't know if he is. It's just
Hey,
tough.
real quick, hold on. Real quick. Hey, Milwaukee fans, that's at FMR Tank, CommandR. So look, it's an abbreviation for a former tank commander. He just said Milwaukee is a paper champ, and he just said that you guys are a mirage and you can't maintain that excellence. So check him on Twitter. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, the only three teams that I'm really counting out right here this year completely. I don't think Brooklyn has a chance this year. I just think it's over there. The Knicks, the 76ers, I think they're done too. So I mean, if we're gonna start out, I just say to be safe and cautious, Celtics. I guess the Bucks can snag the 8 seed, but I don't think they're gonna be much better than they were last year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I mean, that's just, I'm not really feeling the East too much this year. Did we miss the Hawks? We missed the Hawks, didn't we? The Hawks are up there.
What's this wee stuff? You got a frog in your pocket? I was thinking Hawks. I let you hang yourself. No, I was listening. Yeah, we skipped over the Hawks. I think the Hawks are gonna be. I think they'll still be top four. So I think three or four, maybe one and two are gonna be going somewhere else. But I believe in the Hawks, man. Until they fall apart, I'm gonna believe in that beautiful game they play. Where you got them?
Yeah, definitely. I'll put the Hawks probably up there too. I probably put the Hawks at like three. So you just move like probably Washington down one or whatnot, and then you're good. Or
Yeah.
Toronto. Move Toronto down one. Yeah.
Drop everybody down once, not that bad. I like Detroit. I think Detroit's gonna be
Detroit's a good
they're
sleeper
further
pick. I mean,
Say again?
Detroit's a good sleeper pick. I really like what they got in Stanley Johnson over there, and I think they got a with Stan Van Gundy. And they get a whole year to get what he wanted to establish there. I think they've got a really nice team up there.
Well, and that's a good point. I was gonna ask you about this. Because there's some shades of the Orlando teams right now going on Detroit because it's Stan Van Gundy. They got a dominant young raw big man. Do you think he can bring the best out of Drummond? Because I think Drummond is the guy that we're not talking about enough in Detroit. What do you see for him this season with Stan
I
Van
mean,
Gundy?
I think Drummond is. I mean, I honestly thought last year Drummond was going to take a bigger leap than he took, but I think the whole Greg Monroe and Josh Smith thing held him back. So this year, I think you're looking for a pretty sizable increase. I mean, his offensive game, I mean, Dwight gets a lot of flack, but Dwight did have an offensive game. He at least gave him the fact that he had a hook step and a hook shot and a drop step. But I mean, Drummond doesn't exactly have that much, but I do think you're going to see some improvement from Drummond. And obviously the dude's a beast rebounder. I mean, just a monster. And then, defensively, I think you're going to see some huge strides for him this year.
Yeah, man. This is one of the most. It's funny. I think I said this every summer, but and maybe I look back, I would see that it's. I don't know. This is one of the most anticipated seasons in a while for me. I like a lot of teams. I think we have a slowly but surely a new crop of stars coming up. It's been Bron. It's been KD. Russ, and this, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, the new crop is coming up, and I think guys like Oladipo and guys like Andre Drummond are gonna ride that next wave, and so we're seeing them coming to fruition and coming to their own. So it's pretty exciting. What else? Do we miss anything?
Did we miss something? Yeah, I think we looked pretty good. I think we talked about most of the young. I mean, there are a lot. That's another thing that's exciting is that there's a lot of young cores out right now. There's tons of young cores in the league that you get to watch develop. And honestly, I know
Oh,
that people,
go
go
ahead.
ahead.
No, you were saying it about the young cores in the league.
And that's the thing, like a lot of people don't appreciate like the young cores in basketball. But one of the things I always enjoyed watching on League Pass was the young teams that had the young players coming up. I mean, nothing was more fun than watching the Thunder when they were first starting to get it together. And that to me, like, it's so fun to watch those teams. I mean, unless you're watching the Kings, and then okay, sorry, Kings fans, but you guys have been a wreck for like 10 years now, man.
That's sad, man. I don't know what's going on over there in Sacramento. Who's your give me your top five league pass teams right now that you would say you had a brand new guy to the NBA and he's rich, so he just bought NBA league pass. Chester J. Withersmite, he's like, hey, I need five teams to keep me entertained and get me to the NBA. And I want yeah, whatever, your most exciting teams, your five most exciting teams right now.
All right, so I gotta go with Thunder. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't want to watch Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook play every night. I mean, that's crazy exciting to watch, and will be until they decide to break up or don't. Either way, my next team probably up here. I mean, it's hard not to love watching the Warriors play basketball. The Warriors. I mean, you just watched them. Like, who was it? Draymond Green was playing five last year,
It
and
was
in the
amazing.
final. And that was something else, man. I did never expect to see Draymond Green playing center in the NBA Finals on the winning squad. This sounds cliche too, but the Cavaliers, I think, are fun to watch. How do you not enjoy watching LeBron James play basketball the right way? People just seem to, toss that away. San Antonio, man, I mean, people say, again, boring, but they've added LaMarcus Aldridge, David West at the minimum, and they brought back all their guys. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't want to watch that kind of basketball, because that's going to be some beautiful ball out there in San Antonio. And then if you want to throw a young team on there, I'm not trying to be a homer, but the Magic are going to have some highlight plays, man. You got Oladipo, Hezonja, and Aaron Gordon. They're going to be some ridiculous posters in Orlando this year.
Yeah, Mario, he goat you on Twitter as not being a homer. Who would have thought? Wow, that's a good list. It's a really good list, man. Man, it's crazy because we saw OKC make the finals, through it'll be 4 years ago this season. And I remember, they lost, and I was like, no big deal because they're going to be back again soon. And here we are where KD might be leaving. I don't think he's going anywhere. Yeah, I think that's a good stopping point before we drop the call again. I'm already scared to go back and do this to re-listen because if you go back listening, there's like 3 minutes of silence while we get back connected. And I don't know, you guys have to deal with it. So, thanks for stopping by, bro. Where can everybody find your work? Where do they find you on the internet?
You can find me at OrlandoMagicDaily.com, man.
And the name again is Zach Palmer. And on Twitter, go ahead. I'm tired of spelling your. Why don't you change your name to something that makes sense now? Because, well, you're still the former tank commander, I guess. So, yeah, spell it out for him.
It's FMR and Tank, TANK, and Commander is COMMDR, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
You can't spell his own name. What a dork. It's COMMANDR. There's no E at the end of commander. That's right. Hey, man, so give the guy a follow. He's a good follow. A lot of fun. One thing, he's kind of a. It's known as being a Twitter terrorist. He just bullies people and talks sometimes a little out of pocket. But I'm trying to mentor him and get him to be a more respectable, classy young man, and Twitter and represent himself a little less violently.
That's a good call, man. Everyone can take a look at my timeline. I got some favorite tweets here from James. Y'all gonna love those.
I don't know what you're talking about, and my delete function does work. So sorry, I'll never see the light of day. Hey man, I really appreciate you coming by, Zach. And hopefully this season, well, hopefully, no matter what, I think your season is going to be pretty good. I think that Scott Skiles is going to be good for this team, at least for this year. But sink or swim, no matter what, I'd love to have you back on, and we'll talk about what we're seeing in the league.
All right, man. That sounds awesome. Thanks for having me on, James.
Hey man, hey, hold on. You guys got a podcast over there too?
We do. I haven't actually been on one yet, so I'll let you know when we get that going. But I can definitely get you on over there, man.
You know what? I feel like I didn't invite myself. That's okay. I don't want to even be on your show. In
Oh,
fact,
all
let's
right,
just
man.
go ahead. Yeah, let's go ahead and unfollow each other right now, just because I think that's the end of it right there. There's no more, nothing else to say.
All right, we get a little petty. I get
Hey
it. All right.
man, I appreciate you coming on, man. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you for hey, for everybody. If you don't know, this is like an hour and a half we've done recorded today. Then because the first one fell in the tank, this one then dropped twice. But let's hope it came out all right. And even if it didn't, too bad. You can listen to it anyway. All right, brother man. Yeah, I'll catch up with you later, man.
All right, man. Have a good one, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, Zach Palmer, ladies and gentlemen. That's former tank commander on Twitter. You'll see him. I'll add him. He'll be added to this when I tweet it out a million times. Man, I hope it doesn't screw up. But a good show. I think the Magic, they have the world in front of them. I think, honestly, they're right there with Minnesota. I think Minnesota's guys have a little higher ceiling, but whatever. As far as like talent, young talent level, they're right there with Minnesota. Milwaukee is a step above, I think, just for the fact that they already made the playoffs. And they're a little before the advance. I don't kind of compare them to. But as far as talent, I think they're right there. So it's Bears watching, man. I think the East is going to tighten up and be a lot better here in a couple of years and start to approach that Western level. Not going to be as good as the West, but they're going to at least improve the overall talent in the East. Let's keep our fingers crossed, because seeing the East get waxed year after year is not fun. What else we got? I think I got Atlanta coming up. Atlanta preview coming up. Oh, man, I knew I forgot something. I should make a call back in so we can do Twitter questions. Nah, he'll get over it. He'll be fine. Yeah, we got Atlanta coming up. I got some good shows coming up, man. I think I'm trying to get Mr. Royce Young, the Oklahoma City Thunder blogger, come on. A couple other big names. I'm not going to say them yet because they don't come on. I feel stupid because they didn't join me. So that's a good show for tonight, man. I'll talk to you guys next week for the Instant Offense podcast over at B-Ball Breakdown. This is James Hollis. Over and out.